Well, I appreciate the good singing this morning. I appreciate the testimony, Brother Ray. You know, that's a very important ministry, the youth. Probably the very hardest ministry, the youth. But with children coming up now that have parents that don't know Jesus, it's important that we show them Jesus. And we ought to pray for our youth every single chance that we get. And I'm thankful that they're still able to go to camp and what they did in their hearts over there. And I appreciate that, Brother Ray. And I do appreciate the singing this morning. It's still amazing to me that the blood of Jesus Christ does all that for us. And it can take a black heart, wash it in red blood, and it come out on the other side white as snow. Like we ain't never done a thing. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 is where we'll be this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Some of you probably wonder where Monica's at. She wasn't here Wednesday night either. She got so tired of me, she left the country. She's on a cruise. So I do ask that you pray for us. I think they're coming back on Thursday, so be in prayer for her out there. She's soaking up the sun, having a rough time, eating all that she can eat. Alrighty. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I do miss her this morning, though. I can tell you that. I do love her. Alright. 2 Corinthians 5. Everybody there, say amen. Verse number 6 is where we'll begin. The Bible says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that's where we'll stop. May God add His blessing to His Word. Everybody already knows in here that Dr. Charles Stanley is my favorite preacher. He wrote in his book about his church in Atlanta that he began to notice a man in his church, his life began to change soon after he listened to Dr. Stanley's messages on eternal rewards. Dr. Stanley says he began to notice the guy moving all the way from the back row, and 3 weeks later, he was sitting on the front row. So he sat down with him a few weeks later and was going to ask him some questions of what was going on in his life. And this is what the man told him. He said, I was always under the assumption that as long as a person trusted in Christ and knew he was going to heaven, that was pretty much it. And he didn't know what to do after that. He said, I figured everybody in heaven would just be equal. That being the case, what difference did it make what kind of life I lived after I was a Christian? But when you preached on rewards, I began to realize that every moment of my life counted. I quit drinking, I quit partying, and I started inviting my friends to church. And everything in my life changed. He said, once I realized that what I do now determines what eternity will be like, I got busy. He said, I got busy. And in the passage we just read, I believe the Apostle Paul realizes the same thing. In verse number 8, he says, I'm confident and I'm willing to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Paul says, there's coming a day that I'm confident in, that I'm going to be away from this body and I'm going to be present with the Lord. Look at verse number 9. He says, wherefore we labor, or because one day that's coming that I'm going to be with the Lord, I get to work. Because the day is coming that I'm going to be with Him, the day that I'm living now, I'm going to work for Him. And verse number 10 tells you why. Paul says, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things that we've done in our life. And there's coming a day for you and me as Christians to where every single one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for the way that we lived our life. And that's what we're going to preach on this morning, is the judgment seat of Christ. And I know that there's been plenty of things that go on in your mind that's been taught more than likely in Sunday school, more than likely in churches, that you've heard about false stuff about what's going to happen when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But let me just get this out of the way. We don't serve the Lord to get saved. We serve the Lord because we are saved. Amen. I'm not up here preaching to hope I get to heaven one day. I'm up here preaching because I'm going to heaven because the Lord's already saved me. I don't go out and witness to other people hoping I'm going to get saved. I go out and do it because I am saved. And the Lord's already saved us. So just have that in your mind this morning. You don't work to get saved. You work because you are saved. But some of the false stuff that goes around concerning the judgment seat of Christ is three things. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it does not determine your salvation. Your salvation is settled before you die. Your salvation is settled here on earth. Once you die, it's over. You don't have another chance to get saved. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to give an account for what you believed. But at the judgment seat of Christ, rather, you're going to give an account for how you behaved on this earth as a Christian. Dr. Jeremiah says, our eternal destination is determined by what we believe on earth. So if you go to heaven, you go because you believe in Christ. If you go to hell, you go because you don't believe in Christ. But your eternal compensation is based on how you behaved on earth as a Christian. So the place that you go after you die is determined by what you believe. But what you get when you get there is determined by how you behave after you believe. So this judgment seat does not determine salvation. And this judgment seat of Christ doesn't happen to everybody. Not everybody is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ when they die. Only Christians are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If you'll read the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul said, I'm not writing to the whole town in Corinth. He said, I'm writing to the church. And the church is those people who are in the body of Christ. And in chapter number 5, he used the personal pronoun I and we so many times. He says, we have the earnest of the Spirit. We have the Spirit. Only Christians have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. He says, we walk by faith. We're going to be present with the Lord one day. And then we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Christians and unbelievers have a totally different judgment at a totally different time. The difference is, as it's hard to see it up there, so I'll read it to you. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers only. The great white throne judgment is for the people who don't trust in Christ. And that's at a totally different time. The judgment seat of Christ happens before the millennium. You say, what's the millennium? That's when Christ comes back and rules on this earth for 1,000 years. The great white throne takes place after. The judgment seat of Christ, you only get judged for your works, and I'll get there in a second. But the great white throne, you're going to be judged for your works and your sins and everything you've ever done. The judgment seat of Christ, your name is already in the book of life. The great white throne, your name ain't going to be found in the book of life. At the judgment seat of Christ, at the end of it, your final sentence is to go to heaven. The great white throne, your final sentence is the lake of fire. And that's enough for me right there to get saved. So I don't have to stand at the great white throne judgment. But those are some things that are misconceptions about this. And number three, the other misconception that you and I always hear, is that the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to be judged for our sins. Oh, you're looking at me funny. But you've heard ever since Sunday school that when you and I die, we're going to stand before God and God's going to put up a big screen and He's going to put in the tape and He's going to roll your life. And when something bad happens, God's going to press pause and say, now what about that? Right? You've all heard it. And that's all what we're expecting. But we as Christians will not stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for our sins. You say, well, why is that? Because somebody was already judged for our sins. On Mount Calvary, Jesus hung on a cross. And the Bible says from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., our Lord and Savior was hanging on that cross. And the Bible says at 12 o'clock noon, the whole earth went dark. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what the eternal punishment, the eternal judgment for sin is? It's hell. And you know what Jesus took for you and me on Mount Calvary? Hell. You know what the worst part about hell is? Eternal separation from God. In those 3 hours, our Lord and Savior was separated from His Father. The Bible calls hell a place of outer darkness. For 3 hours, that whole place was dark. And Jesus was judged for your sins and for my sins at that very time. The Bible says, for he who knew no sin became sin for us. And on that moment, Jesus Christ was judged for every single one of our sins that we've ever done. You say, well, I know I'm not going to be judged for the sins I committed before I was a Christian, but what about after? Well, I got saved when I was 12. I don't think I did too bad from age 1 to 11. I don't even remember some of the sins that I did. Most of my sins that I've done were after I got saved. So am I not going to have to answer for those? No. Because how many of my sins were in the past when Jesus died on the cross? Zero. In that moment on Calvary, Jesus shed His blood for every single one of our sins. Every single one of them. And if we have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for one of our sins, we better stop singing the song, Jesus paid it all. Because if we have to answer for Him, He didn't pay it all. Amen. And I realize we've all been taught something different on this, but I'm just telling you, this is what the Bible says. We're not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ as Christians and give an account for our sins. We're going to stand and give an account for how we served the Lord after we got saved. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So when you and I get saved, God sees us as perfect. When God sees you, He sees Jesus. And the Bible says, even so, so powerful is the blood of Jesus Christ that the Bible says, when you get saved, God says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I want you to think about that. God that's omniscient, knows absolutely everything, knows the beginning from the end, says, when your sins get put under the blood, I forget them. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. That God forgets your sins when they get put under the blood. So the Bible says that God forgot our sins. How is He going to bring it back up if He forgot it? Our sins have been paid for. We've already been judged through Jesus Christ. John MacArthur says our sin doesn't need to be brought up. That would be blasphemous. Because Jesus Christ did the perfect work for our sins. So that's what the judgment seat of Christ is not. It's not determine our salvation. It's not for everybody. And it's not going to judge us for our sins. But rather, it's going to judge us for our service and the way that we lived after we got saved. So what is it? Well, this Greek word right here for judgment seat is called bema. A bema seat. And in Greece and Corinth, they had Olympic games just like they have, every 4 years, every 8 years. They had the same thing back in Paul's day. And it was a festival in honor of the sea god Poseidon, which is whatever. But it was held in the second and fourth year of each Olympiad. And in the Grecian games, they would have an old arena that they held the games at. And in this arena, it contained a raised platform on which the judge of these games would sit. So that if they had a track race, he'd be able to look over all of them and see who came in first, then see who came in second, then see who came in third. And you know what would happen after the race? They'd walk up to that raised platform and they'd receive their rewards for how they performed in the race. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, everybody runs, but only one person wins. Paul wasn't from 2018. He wasn't where everybody got a participation trophy. Paul said all run, but only one wins. And Paul said, I'm going to run so that I might win. Because there's a time coming where we're going to receive rewards for what we've done. And if you look at that picture, I know it's hard to see, but this was just awesome to me. That over, I think it was over 1,000 years ago, this is what they found in Corinth. And you see what that says on there? You can't really see it. It says Bema. And if you go to the next picture, this is what it looks like from far away. That's what it looks like. You know what that is? That's the Bema seat that was found in Corinth. That'll prove your Bible right there, won't it? And that's what happened in Corinth when the people would come. You can go to Corinth right now and see it. But the judge would stand on top of that raised platform and judge the people that came and give them a reward for how they performed in the race, in the games. So what is this judgment for? Look at verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that everyone may what? Receive. Receive. Not so everyone might be condemned. Not so everyone might be cast down. But so everyone might receive the things done in his body. So it's a place of reward, not judgment. It's to reward us for our service to Christ. Look at Revelation chapter number 22. You don't have to look at it. But some of the last words in the Bible, this is what Jesus says. He says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. When Jesus comes back, he's going to bring rewards with him. And we're going to be rewarded for how we live this Christian life. You say, well, when will this judgment happen? We talked a little bit on Wednesday night about it. When's it going to happen? Well, contrary to popular belief, you're not going to stand before... If you were to die this morning, you're not going to stand before God at this judgment seat of Christ right then. You say, why is that? Well, on February the 21st, I believe it was, Billy Graham died. On February the 24th, here on this earth, a woman that came here about a month ago got saved listening to Billy Graham preach 3 days after he died. So if Billy Graham would have stood at the judgment seat of Christ to receive his rewards the day that he died, and then he walked away, guess what would have happened? God would have had to call out to him, Billy, come back! You got another reward! Right? And the sad part about that is, I thought about the same things in hell. The people that have been in hell hadn't stood before God yet. You want to know why? Hitler. He's still making an impact on people's lives right now. Ruining people's lives and their family members right now. And he's going to have to stand before God when all that's done and over. In Revelation chapter 20 at the great white throne. And be judged not only for what he did, but how it made an effect thousands of years later on this earth. And my grandpa, he died in February, and he's still making an impact on my life. So he hadn't received all of his rewards yet. So the judgment seat of Christ is going to happen somewhere. We talked about the rapture last week. It's going to happen between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. Because you'll find the church comes back with Christ to the earth in the second coming, and they've been already rewarded in Revelation 19. Everybody all right? Good? Alrighty. I'll be in my office if you have any questions. That's what it is. It's a place of reward. It's not a place of judgment. You say, what's going to happen? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm almost done. And we'll go eat some chicken. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. This is what Paul lays it out for us, what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 10. Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, that's the judgment seat of Christ, the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet is so, by fire. Paul just laid out exactly what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'll try to lay it out for you the best way that I know how. In verse number 8, we didn't read it, but Paul said, every man is going to receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse number 11, Paul says, the foundation is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. They've already believed on Jesus, and these people are Christians. And what Paul has done in these four or five verses that we just read, Paul paints an illustration of building a house. Of building a house. He says the foundation is already laid. So I want you to picture a foundation already laid with three or four rows of bricks when they start building a house. Paul laid this foundation in Corinth. The foundation is Jesus Christ. These Christians believed the foundation, so their foundation was laid and their home began to be built. But Paul then left Corinth after he built the foundation for these Christians. But he said, here's your material. Now you build your house however you want. And Paul left the materials for them to build their house. Now, if you've believed in Jesus Christ, the foundation has been laid for you and me. Now you and I get to choose the material that we use to build our own house with. And verse 12 gives us the material that we can use. It's either gold, silver, or precious stone, or it's wood, hay, and stubble. You can build your house however you want to in this life. But when you die and stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the house that you built with your life will stand right beside you. And the Bible says in that day, in verse number 13, it's almost as if Jesus takes out his blowtorch and he's going to put fire to your house that you built with your life. And Brother Ray, you've probably worked with fire more than I have. If you put fire to wood, hay out there, and straw or stubble, what's going to happen? It's going to be gone. If you put fire to gold, silver, and precious stone, it's going to get hot, but it's going to get even prettier. And it ain't going to consume it. And that's what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. When His fire gets put to your house that you built with your life, will your house stand? The gold, silver, and precious stone are representations of those people who live their life as Christians, making contributions to God's kingdom on this earth. They spent time serving Christ in obedience to Him. The people who have the wood, the hay, and the stubble and build their house with that are those people that didn't have any time for God. Are those people that didn't have any time to read their Bible. Are those people that didn't have any time to tell other people about Jesus. And they built their house with these things. And there's going to be two results for that judgment. Verse number 14 says, if your work will abide, you're going to receive a reward for it. And you're promised by Almighty God to receive a reward for what you've done in this life if you served Him. But verse number 15, if your work will be burned, you will suffer loss. But look what it says. But he himself shall be saved. So the thief on the cross that died beside Jesus, he might not have much to answer for. And he might not have much to give. But he's going to be saved at the end of this judgment. So some people say, well, what's it matter then? If I get saved and I don't do anything for Christ, I'm still going to the same heaven that the missionaries who gave their life for Christ are going to go to. So you say, what's the point? I want you to imagine this. A couple just got engaged. And they've planned their wedding for June the 24th, 2020. 2 years exactly from now. And they begin to invest all their money, all their time, all their work into building a home for them to live in. They invest literally every single dime that they have into building this home. They don't take a vacation for 2 years. They build their home. Every weekend they're out there working on it. And the day comes when their house gets built and this married couple gets ready to move into their home. They spend the last night at their own home and they drive up to their home that morning to move in. And they drive in the driveway and that house is nothing but ashes because lightning struck it the night before and it burned all the way down, and there's nothing left. And they realized, looking at those ashes, that every single dime that they spent, there ain't nothing to show for it. Every day that they spent out there for 730 days, the work's gone. They never even did. That's exactly what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ for some Christians. The house that we built with our life is going to be reduced to ashes. Because we realize that we spent our time doing stuff that really didn't matter. And we'll say, well, that's fine, I'm still going to heaven. You don't think that's going to be a horrible day? When you realize you spent the last 50 years of your life and it was wasted and you don't have nothing to show for it. The Bible says that God's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. And that's probably why. Because you realize in that day that your whole life, whether it was 70 years, 50 years, 20 years, is gone. And you don't have anything to show for it. But for those people who've invested their lives on earth for Christ, the Bible says they're going to receive a reward in eternity. Now the kingdom of God, if you'll read your Bible, it won't be the same for everybody. We'll be in the same heaven, we'll have a glorified body, but it won't be the same for everybody. You say, why do you say that? Because the 12 apostles left their families, left their jobs, and followed Christ, you know what their reward is? They get to sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel in eternity. And when you give your life to Christ, after you become a Christian, and you live every day for Him, God's going to reward you greatly for it in eternity. You might not have any money down here, but if you serve Christ, you're going to be one of the richest people in heaven. The kingdom of God is going to be different. This is what Jesus said. He said, verily I say unto you, there's not a man that has left his house, his brothers, his sisters, his father, his mother, his wife, his children, or his lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time and in the life to come. You can't outgive God. If you give to God, He's going to give back. Faithfulness in this life means great reward in the next one. But most of all, I think the greatest reward that we can ever get, Brother Johnny, is to stand before this judgment seat and to hear Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That'd be enough for me. But I was talking to Monica today and it made me about cry. And she was telling me about all the stuff she's already spent money on. Lord help. And I said, I can't wait to see your stuff when you get back home. I said, but most of all, I can't wait to see you. Heaven's going to be awesome. And all the rewards we're going to get sure don't be great. But you know what the greatest rewards going to be? Seeing Jesus. That's all we need right there. That's going to be the greatest reward. That's the judgment seat of Christ. You say, what does that matter? When we think about it, it makes us live for eternity. And y'all, the musicians, you can come for. It makes us live for eternal things instead of spending our time on things on this earth that we got to leave behind when we die. There are only three things that are eternal on this earth right now. This book, the Spirit of God, and the soul of man. That's it. Three things are going to last for eternity on this earth. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the soul of man. The soul is going to spend eternity in one or two places. Heaven or hell. It makes us not judge others because we realize Christ don't do it. Paul said, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who's going to bring to light the hidden things. So we don't have to look at other Christians and say, well, they're not doing that right. Because Christ is going to judge that. And we won't have to. And it makes us say that faithfulness today in this life determines what tomorrow is going to be like and what rewards we're going to get. Jesus told the man in Matthew 25. He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll now make thee ruler over many things." So let me ask you one last question. What are you living for as a Christian? Because it's easy to just sit around and just wait for heaven. But God has left us here to serve Him. And when that day comes, and that house is standing beside us, will your house stand because you lived for Christ? And I encourage you today, the life that's lived serving Christ is the best life that you could ever live, Brother Danny. I've lived serving a bunch of stuff, a bunch of bad stuff. But when I started serving Christ, I've never had more fun in my life. I have more fun in my sleep than half people do. Awake. I encourage you today. That's the judgment seat of Christ. That's what's going to happen. But if you're an unbeliever today, the great white throne judgment is going to be nothing like that. You're going to have to stand there and answer for every single thing you ever did, including your sins and everything. And God's keeping a book, and He's writing it all down. But the good thing is, you can come and accept Jesus Christ today. Every single one of those gets put under the blood, and they never get brought back up. That's the power of Jesus Christ and His blood that He shed for us. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You today for this time that You've given us. Lord, I just pray that we'll be able to take this home with us, God, and realize that what we do for You, You said, God, that it will last. Song says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Father, I pray that we'll get busy for You, because it will be all worth it in that day when we see You. And Father, I pray that when the last day comes on this earth and we're left here, God, I pray that we wouldn't say, "I wish I'd have done more for Christ." But we'll say, "I did everything that I could to serve Him." And as Paul said, "Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Father, help us to be able to live our lives for You for the simple fact that You died for us. And Father, we just thank You for saving us. We thank You for keeping us. And Lord, we just thank You for Your Word and what it means. And Father, I pray that You'll just be with us today in all that we do. Father, we give You all the glory and praise, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen.